League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 134. Today's date, March 24th, and let's get started right away in our tip-off tops. You know, leading off, with St. John's gets bounced. St. John's loses in the second round, 75-66 versus John Calipari and Arkansas. And it, just really quick, you know, with this game, a couple things we have to remind ourselves of. Number one, St. John's was predicted fourth to come into Big East. They overachieved all season. Number two, Arkansas was a top 15, top 20 team in the country preseason. So they are where they're supposed to be. But they underachieved. They played better down the stretch. But to me, there's a couple of reasons why St. John's lost this game. Number one, it has nothing to do with the fact that R.J. Lewis was benched the last 4 minutes and 56 seconds. The kid was 3-for-17. He was terrible defensively. His shot selection was had a lot to be desired. And when Zubi Adjofor shook him, there was nothing there. It was a blank stare. They got him out the game because they had to. I think Rick got him out the game, honestly, to protect him. Which leads me to this really quick. For all you fans, and I know I've been tough on RJ for how he before, but he's a kid. For all you people that go out on social media and trash this kid and cuss this kid out because you lost a goddamn bet or a parlay, you should be ashamed of yourselves. And it's no wonder why these kids are all bitching and complaining about this going on. So let's make sure that we realize these are kids, they're college kids, and so what if you lost your bet or your parlay? It happens. Move on. End of story. But now what the reason why I think they lost this game, honestly, is the fact that the last game versus Omaha, they only out-rebound Omaha by two. You look at this game. This was the game dominated to me. Even though it was 47-41, the big opportunities to get rebounds were by Arkansas. Every big rebound seemed to go their way. And to me, when you look at this, also the fact that St. John's shooting was poor. Rick Pitino should have done a better job, simply put, of getting the ball inside. Zubi Adjofor, the Big East most improved player. Let's move on to Duke, who absolutely rolled ex-teammate Jeremy Roach and Baylor 89-66. This game was tight midway through the first half, and then Duke does what Duke does, which is they go on a run, and they're so good, and they're so loaded that they literally could punch you any way they want. You look at Cooper Flagg, who really was just extremely efficient, showing to me why he is the best player, and I'm going to say this, folks, the best American-born prospect in this country since LeBron James. I'm being dead serious when I say this. He was absolutely fantastic in his performance. But to me, it was more than just the play of Cooper Flagg. It was the shooting of Proctor, making 9 3-pointers. This team is so dynamic offensively that I only think one team, I'm being serious, folks, I think there's only one team in the country that can beat Duke, and that's Houston. Houston went against an 8-seed Gonzaga. Shout out to the NCAA. Terrible job seeding that team with the 9th-best net on KenPom as an 8-seed. But 81-76 win by Kelvin Sampson's crew. Not covering. I do believe the spread was 5.5, 4.5 in some books. It's the guard play. And it was LJ Cryer's turn. Scored over 30 points. This is a guy that can go get a bucket with absolutely anybody in the country. Emmanuel Sharp, you know, wasn't the sharpest, but that guy there was pretty good. And Juwan Roberts, a guy that had an ankle injury. And there he is, obviously, LJ Cryer. They're going to have an interesting matchup. We'll preview that game versus Purdue on Wednesday's podcast. By the way, another shout out to the NCAA. Great job putting Houston, the 1 seed in the Midwest, to play Purdue, the 4 seed, in Indianapolis. Go figure, NCAA. Great job. I want to put myself in a selection committee. Let's end this first segment talking about coaching changes. Number one, Will Wade goes to NC State. And I appreciate Will Wade's gangster because he was very upfront and honest with his players. I'm interviewing at NC State. I'm taking NC State. Seemed that they played better against Clemson. Didn't seem to bother him. This is a guy that does not care. He ain't going to care about what's on Tobacco Road. He doesn't care about the Dukes and the Carolinas. He can coach. He can recruit. Now he's got to keep his hands clean. But I think Will Wade will do a great job. And shout out to Amir Khan. Shout out to my man Amir Khan. He going with Will Wade too. With that 6-figure NIL package he got. Amir, can I get a loan? I could take a couple of bucks if you have it. Just at Coach Young NJ if you want to hit me up. Moving on. Speaking of moving on, Roddy Terry. Bye, Felicia. That didn't take long. By the way, I always thought about this. What's the name of that guy from Breaking Bad? The other guy? I forget his name. The guy, Gus. Don't he look like Gus? Look at that picture. Put it back up, Matt. He looked like Gus a little bit, right? I don't know. Maybe Matt's not talking to me. Maybe he didn't watch Breaking Bad, but I did. But anyway, they had to get rid of him, folks. Simply put, to be all serious. He won, went to an Elite Eight, simply put, with Chris Beard's players. And when he had to coach the team himself, they made tons of mistakes, and they're falling behind. And this is what we talked about. The transfer portal and NIL is not giving teams a lot of time. The person who replaced Roddy Terry is Sean Miller. And I'm going to say this really quick. How the hell does Sean Miller get 2 jobs after what happened to Arizona, but his top assistant, Book Richardson, can't get a job in the NCAA? Someone needs to explain that to me, NCAA. The head coach, who knows everything that's going on. I work for my boss. My boss knew everything. Even if I didn't tell her, she knew everything. How Sean Miller is getting job after job and Buck Richardson can't get a job should be ashamed of himself. Some college coach, get on the phone and hire Buck Richardson, one of the best recruiters in the country. Speaking of moving on, Ryan Odom is taking a job at UVA. Not shocked at all. Ryan's father, Dave Odom, was an assistant to the great Ralph Sampson teams, I do believe, in the 80s. Ryan Odom did a great job at VCU. This is also the Ryan Odom that was at UMBC that knocked out Virginia at the 16-1 seed. So, kumbaya moment right there for UVA. But shout out to Ryan Odom, one of the best young coaches in the country. He'll do great at UVA. Lastly, last coach we'll talk about really quick, Nico Medved took the job over at Minnesota today. So that'd be a good opportunity. And we'll see what happens to some of these other jobs, particularly Xavier, Villanova, you know, and as we get more and I get more, I'll make sure I comment on those jobs. But to me, it comes down to this. If you don't have the NIL money, if you don't have the package to offer a coach, you're not going to compete. I want people to understand something. The number is 4, as in million. If you don't have $4 million in your NIL budget, I'm telling you this right now, you have no chance to compete. $4 million, and that just gets you in the door. Coming up next, we'll get into our award tour where we'll look at some brackets in women's basketball, and we'll look at teams that make the Elite Eight and the Final Four. This is the best time of year. You got the men's tournament, you got the women's tournament. We'll talk NBA at some point, but that's not important. It's college basketball season. We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 134. And it's time to get into our award tour. We break down the future markets. And we did something a little bit interesting. I told my producer, Matty George, I don't want to know the topics. I want him to just come up with them and then let me live kind of give everyone my thoughts and give a reason to why or why not to take it. First off, is, oh, interesting. Arkansas to make the reach the Elite Eight. This is sitting at a plus 180 price. If you think about the game, Texas Tech seems to be like a 5.5, 6.5 point favorite. So you got a couple of different ways to play this, right? Do you take Arkansas plus the points? Or you just go out on a limb and just basically, so many words, money line, or just take Arkansas to reach the Elite Eight. And it's going to be an intriguing matchup versus these two teams. If you look at Arkansas during the year, they've winners of 4 to the last 5, obviously beating two big-time teams in St. John's and in Kansas. And let's be honest, folks, Cal's team is playing their best basketball at the right time. So this is a team that, let's remember, folks, was in the top 15, top 25 to begin the season. So we were expecting this. Now, if you think about the matchups that they've had, right, over the course of the year, you know, this is an interesting spot for them. You know, they've not played Texas Tech, but they've played in a tougher league. To me, I'm still leaning on minus a point, but that's still a good number for a team that's certainly talented enough, and Arkansas at plus 180 to reach the Elite Eight, which means they go ahead and they get the win. Next up, we're sticking with that mindset. And just really quick, make sure you shop around and look, right? Because right now I'm looking, I see plus 198 for Arkansas to win. So make sure you shop around, folks, before you place your bets, because they may be, there's different ways you can bet this. Let's move on to Ole Miss to reach the Elite Eight at plus 110. Right now they're 3.5 point underdogs to Michigan State. I agree with Matt here. I think they win. I think if you look at the way that Michigan State has played, I think they're playing with fire. And at some point, they're going to get picked off. And I think that's Friday night. They looked extremely shaky for large stretches of the game versus New Mexico. And then you look at the way that this Ole Miss team can play. They can guard pretty well. But they are lightning when it comes to shooting the ball. And that sometimes can be a struggle for Sparty. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I like this pick that Matt is given. And I wouldn't be shocked, folks. I'm going to be honest with you. I would not be shocked if Ole Miss win this game going away. You know, you look at Padula at about 15.2 points per game, you know, you obviously have a big man play. And I don't think people understand how good of a coach Chris Beard is. I personally think Chris Beard is one of the 5 to 10 best coaches in America. There's a guy that I know really well, Dre Davis, did a great job for Shaheen Holloway over at Seton Hall and has really just kind of come to his own. Dre Davis had a big game in the SEC tournament and in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and is someone that is a capable scorer. Only 4 points against Iowa State, but a big 15-point performance, 8 rebounds versus UNC. Remember, 12-6 versus Auburn. I do like Ole Miss plus the 110 to go and get to the Elite Eight. Now, here is where it gets interesting with the women's side. Texas is the minus 105 favorite to win Birmingham Region number 3. Notre Dame is plus 170. TCU is 5-1. I'm going to say this right now. If you want to take a chance, I think you put one unit on TCU and you put 2 units on Notre Dame. Texas is not winning this region. I don't think teams were, if you lined up the 4-1 seeds and you asked them between those 4 teams, who did you want to play? I'm telling you right now, everyone wants to play Texas. Everybody wants to play Texas. They don't want to play Juju and Kiki. They don't want to play Lauren Betts and Kiki Rice. They don't want to play, Kicks and Malaysia Fuluwale and Johnson and that squad. Everybody wanted Texas. Texas is not winning this region. So find a way to split your money up between TCU and Notre Dame. The winner of that 2-3 matchup is going to go for the Final Four. And I pray it's my guy and my team, the TCU Horned Frogs. Lastly, we get to the national championship odds for the women. Right now, a couple weeks ago, UConn was 3-1, plus 330 for South Carolina, 4.5 for Texas, 5.5 for USC, 6-1 for UCLA. 6-1 for Notre Dame, and then falls off the cliff. Now, if you bring up the odds for today, South Carolina plus 210, UConn plus 240, UCLA 5.5, 7.5 for USC, 7.5 for Texas, 7.5 for Notre Dame, TCU down at 50-1. Simply put, the reason why South Carolina is plus 210 is the fact that USC and UConn are in the same region. They have to play each other. So South Carolina has the shortest odds because when you line up the 2 seeds, they don't have the most difficult opponent. The most difficult opponent for any of the teams to have is Texas. That's why they're the longest shot, followed by USC, and then UCLA, and then obviously South Carolina. I said it from beforehand. They beat them by 30. They're getting to the Final Four. I just have a feeling UConn wins the national championship. I'm not staying off my bet. Coming up next, we'll get into our scouting report. Now we'll get to the NBA. We'll preview the Lakers versus the Pacers. We'll take a look at the Clippers versus the Knicks. We'll take a look at the Bucks versus the Nuggets. And then we'll take a look at a buzzer beater after this commercial break as we discuss our scouting report.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 134, and it's time to get into our scouting report where we preview the best games in college basketball and NBA. And with simply put, no games until Thursday. It's a good chance for us to preview a couple of good games in the NBA. Do note that when we do our next podcast on Wednesday to be released on Thursday, we will preview all 8 Sweet 16 games. So it'll be a little bit different. It may not be much of a, probably be no award tour. We'll probably just do tip-off topics and then 2 scouting reports previewing the games for Thursday and Friday night. But let's get to the association, where the first game we're looking at is a Wednesday game between the Lakers and the Pacers. And the Lakers, after being red hot, have lost two games in a row and have gotten absolutely bludgeoned versus an Indiana Pacers team that right now sits in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, three games behind the New York Knicks, winners of four games in a row to Pacers. To me, I'm looking at this game, looking at if LeBron and everybody's healthy. I think this is a spot where you have to try and get yourself right. But the better way to do it probably is look at the total. An Indiana team is going to want to try and run and gun, plays very little defense. Indiana gives up about 115 points per game. I'm looking squarely at the over here, as I think you'll see very little resistance from the Indiana Pacers to be able to stop LeBron and all the guys. And they're going to push the pace. So look at the over. Looking at the fact that Lakers are about 226.1, Pacers are about 232.8. I'm probably looking at about a 228.5, 229.5 over-under. Take the over. Next matchup, Clippers versus the Knicks. The Clippers team that's now in eighth place has kind of fallen off the cliff a little bit. They're comfortably ahead of the Sacramento Kings for eighth place in the Western Conference versus the New York Knicks team that's just waiting to get Jalen Brunson back. They've been kind of up and down, 4-6 out of the last 10 games, 44-26 this season. To me, I'm looking at the Knicks here, the Knicks being at home. I think you look at a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns, should give Ivaka Zubac absolute fits, the ability to step out and shoot the ball from three and be able to pick the ball off the bounce really makes Cat a very tough guard for a guy like Ivaka Zubac. So to me, I'm looking squarely at Cat to go over points and maybe look at his three-point prop and the Knicks to find a way to get the win. Last matchup, Bucks versus Nuggets. Now, Nikola Jokic has been out. It was just reported today that he will be back for the homestand. So that means he's good to go versus a Milwaukee team that's, you know, comfortably in that fifth position. How much of it do they want to fight to get the four? Is there only one game behind the loss column for the Denver Nuggets? So I'm going to Indiana Pacers. So I'm going to take the Denver Nuggets here. Game's at home. Look for Nikola Jokic to go and get a triple-double. I wanted to get to this buzzer beater, and I wanted to give a minute to talk about this because friend of the program who's been on here before, Jeff Goodman, came on an hour ago and said there are more than 500 men's basketball players in the portal, and we're not even through the first day of it officially opening. I want people to understand two things when it comes to the portal. Number one, so many of these deals have been made already. I can tell you this right now because I know it. Agents have been calling coaches for weeks, letting them know how much they want to pay for a kid to come to their school. So don't be surprised when you see kids going to the portal, folks. A lot of this back office dealing has been happening way too early, and the NCAA has to get it under control. Number two, I hate the fact that there's 16 men's teams, and after today, tomorrow when they open with the women, 16 women's teams are still going to be playing, and you have coaches that have to juggle their team that they're still playing with the portal. Number three, there are more kids that are going to the portal with scholarships, and this is absolutely destroying high school basketball because it's limiting the options. I'm asking the NCAA to get this under control, get the agents as far out of it as possible, and don't open up the portal till after the Final Four where all teams have been done playing. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for March 24th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app, pregame, in-game, postgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast, we'll preview all the games of the Sweet 16 from our producer, Matty George. Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thanks for listening, folks. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.